Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is TWiT Photo with Catherine Hall and Leo Lepore, episode 24, recorded September 13th, 2011. Alex Koloskov. TWiT Photo is brought to you by Carbonite Online Backup. Automatic and unlimited backup for your computer files with anytime, anywhere access. For a free trial plus 2 free months with purchase, go to carbonite.com and use the offer code TWITPHOTO. It's time for TWiT Photo, the program that makes you love photography once again. And who better to do that than the person we love the most, Catherine Hall, our favorite photographer.
Thank you, Leo.
Catherine Hall Studios.
The
I'm reaching out and saying, there she is, ladies and gentlemen. Hi, Catherine. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Great to see you once again. CatherineHall.net. We were just there, and I see you have another great portrait of the week. This is something that Catherine started doing on her blog, which I love.
Thanks.
I think you should always do this. You want to say anything about this?
Yeah, I'll just do a quick...
She looks pissed.
I'll do a non-technical...
This looks like my teenagers when I take a picture.
I'll do a non-technical tip since Alex is going to be full of tech today. This is just real quick. If you're, you know, have you ever been out shooting and you have that nagging, you're tired, you want to go in, and you have that nagging feeling like you need
There's
to stay out?
One more picture. Yeah.
And so that is your gut telling you
Trust
to stay
it.
Out.
Yeah.
I've had so many occasions where I've wanted to go in. I'm over it. I'm done.
Right, right.
I'm tired. And you just have that nag like, oh, I need to stay out, stay out. And then some of my favorite images have come from that situation.
It's so funny because I've also heard people, and maybe even you say sometimes that first photo is the best photo.
That's true, too. you never know.
Trust your gut.
Yeah.
Trust your gut.
So
this was the last photo of the day.
So this was, I was done for the day. And I saw her and it was like, ugh, I don't want to get out of the car. I don't want to go do this.
Yeah.
And you just, you do it and then you get excited and it turns out great. And sometimes some of your favorite images come from that. So just listening to your gut. That would be my tip on that.
And I also want to point everybody to the Google Plus Hangout you did last weekend. Actually, last...
A couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A couple weeks ago.
This
was on knowing your rights in terms of copyright?
Yeah. I'm really excited about this Hangout because I feel like... Actually, this was inspired by the Mostly Photo episode you guys did with Trey and RC.
Mm-hmm.
And... It kind
there's of, Trey himself.
There's Trey himself, yeah.
So you had a panel. This is a good idea.
Yeah, I organized a panel, and I had a lawyer, I had Creative Commons, I had Trey, Zach Arias, and Scott Kelby popped in and popped out. But the goal with this Hangout was to really sort of address, have one place where everyone can go where... Because I feel like with copyright, there's questions... and answers, but they're all kind of scattered. And
right.
I wanted a one platform where we're addressing what does Creative Commons mean? What does copyright mean?
So if you're
mean?
A photographer,
what do you, yeah.
you would watch this panel and you'd
oh
know
my God.
What you need to know.
Well, I mean, there's always going to be more questions, but I right. feel like for basic knowledge, if you're a little bit fuzzy on how to, what copyright means, what Creative Commons means, what you should do with your images now that sharing on the web has become so prevalent, then this is a really good place to start.
And what a great way to do it with Google Hangouts. So you,
yeah.
To have a panel on it. I think that's a neat way to use Google Plus.
It was.
Like
yeah,
that.
It was really fun. So
this
anyway.
This is at CatherineHall.net. You can watch it right there.
Yeah. So I'm thinking about doing, also after the show, I'm thinking about doing a question answer.
Post-show.
Post-show.
What a great idea.
So if
yeah,
you
because
guys...
we have to run because we get out of the way for Tech News
yeah,
Today.
Yeah, so.
Great idea. So how would you do that? We'd just
I
go
would
over...
Just...
In a corner?
We could do it there, or I can do it back, you know,
no,
at
do
my
it here.
Studio. Okay.
Unless,
yeah.
you, unless you're in a hurry to get home.
No, I'm not in a hurry. I'll
I think
sit
it's a
in
great
traffic.
Idea. Yeah, that's a great idea. So, we'll start doing that.
Yeah. So.
Anyway, CatherineHall.net. Great place to see Catherine's photos.
And Alex is really into social networking, so this is a good time to bring in the Google Plus thing.
Let's welcome our guests.
Let's welcome our guests.
So, Alex, it's great to have you. Alex Koloskov from akelstudio.com. Welcome to TWiT Photo. We're so glad to have you.
We're so honored to have you here. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, like I said, my pleasure. Thank you so much to inviting me.
Catherine was saying this is a little stretch for us because this is a different kind of photography than we usually talk about. This is a very technical form of technology.
Yes.
Describe your photography, Alex.
Well, studio product, photography product, jewelry, anything you can do in studio, usually small subjects.
And you do a lot of slow-mo and, you know, like the splash photography. In fact,
it's not slow motion. It's basically freeze and action.
Freeze frame. Yeah.
Is liquid your favorite medium to work with?
Yes.
Why?
Well, because it's hard to shoot. It's kind of a challenge for me, technical challenge. And I enjoy solving problems, inviting solutions to get it done. When I get some idea with the liquid, you know, it's hard to just go and shoot because it won't stay for you like this. So
that's true. You get one shot. Well, you probably get more shots. You can keep dropping that pair in the water, but you got to get it just at the right time.
How long are these sessions typically when you do a liquid session? What would you say is your average amount of time in the studio?
It all depends. It can be... because of experience, sometimes it's like probably 30 minutes I can get the splash I need. But in most cases, it's 1, 2, 3, 4 hours. Wow. I can go back the next day and basically I will shoot till I get what I need.
Now, are you triggering by hand or do you have a special trigger that you use for these kinds of shots?
It's all by hand. It's all by hand because, you see, most of my splashes are not just like a little drop. But relatively large splashes, and it's easy to catch. Relatively easy when you kind of have this experience to catch the right moment. Yeah, this one, this spoon, it's probably my one of the first attempts to shoot liquid.
Sorry, it's
incredible. What's the shutter speed?
Oh well, it's 1/200 of a second. It's not the shutter speed which frees the liquid. It's a flash rate. Yeah, the stroke, yeah. I used the Canon speed light, I think two of them for this. And the time I had maybe 5D, whatever, camera doesn't matter for this, but the strobe should have very short flash duration.
You've said that you can do a lot of your shots with a point and shoot, which I find fascinating, because when I look at his work, I think he must have all this really expensive gear, lights, all of it. So how can you reproduce this type of shot with a point and shoot?
Well, if we talk about liquid, this point and shoot is actually it's much easier because point and shoot doesn't have that mechanical shutter. It's electronical. And last time I played with Canon G11 or 12, G11 probably. And it can synchronize up to 1/2000 of a second. So the maximum shutter speed, is you still can have, flash. And no problem. So it's easy to just get any flash, not high speed, but any.
Because then you can use a higher shutter speed to do the freezing. So just for people who are new to this whole idea, most cameras have a single shutter speed that syncs with the flash. Usually 1/60th, right? Or
no. Usually it's I think from 1/160 of a second till 250.
Okay.
Depends on the camera. More expensive camera has a higher number.
Higher speed.
Higher speed. Yeah. Hasselblad has like 1/800.
Okay. And when you said you have to have a special kind of strobe, it has to be a strobe that can do a very quick flash?
It's duration. You know, the strobe, it should be, they call it digital strobe. Because usually what the strobe is, it's a capacitor connected to that discharging lamp, and basically when you trigger, it just releases the charge, right?
Right.
But the problem with regular strobe, if you look at the diagram, lighting diagram, the time and the, let's say, the vertical axis, it's a time, and the power flash, it's a horizontal axis.
Yeah.
It feels like a big, you know,
you want to get to full power in the shortest amount of time.
Right, but the tail. The problem with those flashes is the tail. It's very, when power of capacitor drops for like 1/5 of the maximum, the discharging time is very long.
So that's bad because, what, it will soften the shot?
Right. It will draw this kind of trail, motion trail.
And you won't get a moment in time. You'll get too many moments in time, and it softens it.
Yeah, I have on the blog. I actually did a test when I used regular flash and then like digital flash, and I shoot same thing. And I don't know if you want, I can show you the difference on the close up of the drops.
Sure.
If I can find it relatively fast. Let me try to.
So this is really interesting. So the G11, which you talk about in your blog here, has a flash sync at 1/2500th of a second. That's sufficient to freeze the liquid.
Yeah. So in what case?
Then you could use a cheaper flash that doesn't have the that instantaneous.
So you could just use a speed light in that situation.
This was taken with 1/2500th of a second with a G11.
Yeah, scroll down. Okay. Scroll a little bit down.
Look at this.
I know, it's crazy, isn't it? It's a point and shoot.
And scroll now a little bit down.
Okay.
You see it? This
there you go. There's the smeariness.
With the same flash, but DSLR. That's what you will get.
Because you had to shoot at 100th or 1/250th
of a
second.
Yeah, 1/250th or 1/250th.
And the flash has this tail, this kind of, it doesn't turn off instantaneously.
Yeah.
So it doesn't cut the impulse, yeah.
You want something that turns on and off instantaneously.
Yeah, it's not like on and off. It's basically cutting the impulse.
Right.
If the Einstein, so the policy buff, actually, I love them. That's what I use now. They completely digital. And on action mode, they cut the impulse.
They cut the input.
You can get like one of, the maximum speed is 1/15,000th of a second. It's crazy. You can probably stop a bullet.
How do you know which strobes are digital and which aren't?
Well, read specification, I guess.
It'll say digital strobe in the on the.
No, it's in the specs. You see, I think the Broncolor, for example, the old power pack. They're not digital, but they use something else to shorten the input. So there are different ways for the manufacturer to handle it. But the cheapest way to make it digital, like the speed lights. Oh, I see some.
The cheapest way is what? Can you repeat
the
that?
Speed light.
The speed light.
Like, hot shoe. Actually, any little strobe which you can attach on the camera, on the hot shoe, on the battery running strobe, will work. The only problem that on the maximum power, they have very long flash duration. To get shot one, you need to go less than 1/4. Of maximum power, or 1/8, like a quarter of the power, or less.
But you've done some shots. You say you could do shots with like a $5 to $7 light. What instance does that work?
It's not for splash.
Not for splashing. That's for not product.
Gotcha. Okay. So for splashing, you need to have the digital strobe.
But this sounds like this is possible. Somebody could actually do this. If they have a G11 or they spend a little money on a good strobe.
What's the cheapest way of doing this?
They could do these images like themselves. I mean, these are amazing.
Alex,
so much fun.
If you're, say you're an enthusiast and you just want to play and have fun with this, what's the cheapest setup to get started?
Well, wait a minute. Now, how did you do that?
Yeah, I know.
I have a video for this.
Is that serendipity or did you actually have a glass bug in there?
No, it's not glass. It's a Photoshop. The body, it's a Photoshop liquify filter. But the wings, it's real splashes.
That's so cool.
Them,
so you Photoshop the body, but then you get the splashes.
And it's not like we completely draw body. We just use big splashes to
liquify them. Little healing tool on the side there, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, like stretching, you know, to make them instead of round, awesome. Ellipse. And
that is so cool.
How often are you getting what you want in camera and feeling like, oh, it may need a little fine tuning, but we've nailed it, versus working on the image in post?
Well, I always try to do as much as possible in the camera, but it's always, you know, a matter of time. Time is money, right? So if I know that I will spend like a few days to shoot it, but I can do it in, well, not me actually, Jenny Larione was doing this, but anyway, in Photoshop for like several hours, so I don't go for a few days shoot. I just do separate shots and then combine them in the Photoshop.
See, that's actually a really interesting point, because I feel like a lot of people, when with Photoshop, it's oftentimes easier to get it right in camera. But people just say, "Oh, I'll just fix it later." So I think it is finding that balance between getting, you know, if doing a time analysis, saying, "Hey, look, is it actually going to take me more time to get this right in camera, or is it going to take me more time to retouch this?"
Yeah, basically, it's a question about efficiency, right?
Yeah,
how efficiently, how fast we can do this. We shoot for commercial stuff, right? So the client won't pay for a week of shooting. We need to do it fast.
So one of the things you pride yourself in is turnaround time. And he's said that oftentimes it takes photographers weeks to get images. You do it in days. How do you do that?
Well, sometimes a lot of time takes the preparation. I'm thinking as an engineer to find out what do I need to build or to use, what kind of devices, what kind of stuff to get that splash or that shot. Sometimes I need to build a completely custom lighting modifier, or, well, for that Godiva, we did crazy thing to make it work. So it may be like week, but not a shooting week. I spent time to do some do-it-yourself projects. Yeah, what is that?
This video is on the blog, so that this shows you how you could use a point-and-shoot that does have a fast sync speed, without having a very fancy light. So that's really cool.
So what is the cheapest setup you could have to do a liquid shot for someone that's just wants to get out started and play?
I think to go with hot shoe flashes. There is Vivitar. I forgot the model name. They still, it's old, hot shoe, battery-powered flash. And they sell it on B&H, I think, around $90 each.
Wow.
Oh, wow, that's cheap.
Because I want to do this. This looks really fun.
I know, it's fun.
Talk a little bit about the setup. So I've got the camera. I've got the flash. Well, we're going to do it right now with a waiting pond. is that a typical? Is this your family, by the way?
Yes.
That's great. So you get everybody involved. Now you've got the bottle of milk.
Yeah, it's some kind of juice, I think. Juice. And yeah, that I'm kind of trying to explain that we're going to, well, it's about probably shutter speed and strobe. Yes. And you see?
And that's the G11 that you have there on the arm.
It's G11 and it's white lighting 1600 flash unit, which is just a regular powerful, but normal unit. I mean, you cannot breathe anything with it.
So you're going to suspend the bottle and your wife's going to throw the milk at it?
Yeah, it's not the milk. It'll be water, but
water. Yeah, okay.
It's like you throw it from the bottom. And
what do your daughters do in this particular setup?
Yeah.
We did three photo sessions. First, we did that watch photography, yeah, and then a splash, and second, and the last one was kids.
Oh, that's great.
Just to show how we can shoot the people portraits. With the point.
So this is really great. So you must have developed some incredible reflexes, because you knew you knew exactly when to push the button.
She's my wife. We've been married for 11 years.
She's gorgeous, Alex. She's gorgeous.
Really in sync.
And you're very in sync. So do you say 1, 2, 3 and she throws it?
Yeah, we start from 1, 2, 3, but then without saying it. I see...
You just know she's going to do it.
How long did it take you to get those instincts?
I don't get how you do that. I would never get that. Look at this.
How was this a natural? You were born with these instincts, or is this something that developed over time? And if so, how long?
Got the reflexes of a cheetah.
He does have a little practice here, but it's insane. So
yeah, the biggest problem to get desired flesh, splash shape.
Yeah, yeah.
Catch a moment, but it's not. Sometimes it doesn't.
Not the moment you want. Yeah.
What was the biggest challenge or hurdle that you had to overcome when you were initially doing this?
Oh, that's a great shot.
Biggest challenge. I don't remember anything like one large challenge. It was probably a lot of small little things, starting from a pool and lights. I didn't know anything about lights and about which light can be used to freeze action, which is not. And it was a lot of research and play.
So you're using a trigger and a light in a softbox here. Is that the only light source on this?
I think two of them. There is one behind on the other side.
Okay.
You see that?
Oh, over here.
Box, I think it's just a bare reflector, yeah.
Yeah.
If you only had one light to use, where would you position it?
Probably I will leave softbox because of the bottle. If it's splash alone, I will highlight the background only. Because water is transparent, we don't need to put any light on the water itself. We can highlight background, and we'll get very nice splash.
The background, the thing behind
it. Yeah, background.
The thing behind it, because the light will shine through the liquid. So yes. you don't actually necessarily have to highlight the liquid itself.
Yeah, if it's only liquid. But here they have the subject have a bottle.
You've got to light the bottle.
Yeah, light the bottle.
So two lights for this one, one on the background and then one on the bottle.
Yep.
Yeah.
If you were just getting started with this, what is there a particular liquid that you think works best?
Just the water.
Water.
Although I like the milk.
Milk is fine. But if you don't use milk, milk is too messy and it's hard to clean.
It's a hell of a thing to clean up in the studio.
Is that really milk?
No, this is not the milk. It's a mix of water and Elmer's glue.
Oh, really? Really?
Which gives it a nice viscosity, too. Now, are you hanging the strawberries as well?
Yes, everything was hung. It was actually from Masterclass. Well, this is a composite shot because of the splashes. I didn't get it in one splash.
So you put a couple of splashes together.
Yes.
But this is good for me to know because you know what? I would look at that and I would throw the bottle.
I would throw
the strawberries and I would throw the milk. And I would hope that they all combine in some interesting way. So this is really good to know. You suspend the solid objects and you let the water
splash.
Yeah,
so you're on a tripod so you don't move. Everything that's solid is suspended.
Same thing with the blueberries. Are the blueberries suspended?
Yes. Yes, all of them. The only, we moved them after that. When we shoot them, that wasn't like this. We rearrange blueberries.
Yeah, Photoshop. Yeah, because you're photoshopping anyway, you got to take the wire out. Now, this is a great way to do product shots, and we're going to talk about, because I know you're known for your product shots.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about the product shots in just a second. We're talking to Alex Koloskov of akelstudio.com. And the I love how generous photographers are.
I know.
The video shows how to do it. You do workshops, I know. But you give away a lot of the information. I think that's really great.
And he's one of the... There's not a whole lot of still life photographers out there doing that. Yeah. So it's great. I feel like, you know, it's really nice to have him out there sharing because a lot of the information is really new.
Yeah.
And fresh.
We should mention that if you want to find out about the workshops, if you go to his blog, you'll see the masterclass, Technical Secrets of Studio Photography, and see the tagline.
And we're going to have a mini masterclass today.
Oh, good. When we come back.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the tagline, though, we don't hold anything back. That's very important.
When I stopped doing this, I couldn't find anything about generally splash or product photography, any tutorial, free or not free, there was nothing. And I was thinking, you know, maybe I'll be filled to really do it. Because I don't know why people are not sharing this, but...
Well, how did you teach yourself then? Because he's self-taught and there wasn't a lot of resources.
Well, here in the studio.
You just did it.
I shoot weeks, months, till I get what I need. And it was a lot of experience.
We'll come back. We'll have a little mini master class in just a bit. We'll talk about product photography too in just a second. But first, let me talk about a very important issue for photographers. You've got that great shot. That one of a kind, you do weddings. You're not going to have another wedding to take a picture. You better have those shots, and you better not lose them. And that's why backup for every photographer is absolutely key. Read Peter Krogh's The Damn book about digital asset management. In fact, a great place to go, dpbestflow.org. That's a site Peter put together with the Library of Congress and the Association of Professional Photographers. Talk, and one of the sections in there is backup. And the thing he says is 3-2-1. He taught me this when we were in Tasmania. Three copies could be the original and two backups, but three copies of everything, two different forms of media, and one of them off-site. That's where Carbonite is so great. Carbonite is a part of your overall backup strategy. It gets those photos off-site in the cloud where they're safe no matter what happens. You have a fire in the studio, you could lose everything. But if you've got it on Carbonite, you've got everything. And they'll back up RAWs. They'll back up, in fact, everything on your internal hard drive on your computer for $59 a year, less than $5 a month. Let me say that again. There's no limit. Everything on your internal hard drive, all those images, $59 a year. They have a pro version for folks who want to do a whole studio with many, many computers. But for the home user, this is great. Go to carbonite.com and use the offer code TWITPHOTO. You can try it free for 2 weeks. You don't need a credit card. You don't need anything but, you know, just this. Email, password, and offer code. That's TWITPHOTO, by the way. And you can try it free for 15 days. Do the trial. It uses your internet access. It does not slow your computer down, but I want to make sure you have enough speed to, you know, for you, for this to work for you. So do the trial. And then when you sign up, you'll get 14 months for the price of 12. So that $59 a year, that'll be $59 for 14 months when you use the offer code TWITPHOTO. You got to back it up to get it back. Please, if you're going to be, you know, serious about photography or financial records or anything, back it up. And you got to do it with
it's Carbonite. Always, you know, and the sad thing is, do it today.
Yeah,
because there's so many people that are like, oh, that's interesting. I'll do that later.
I'll look into it. One of these days.
And then.
One of these days.
I won't. Yeah.
So Alex has an e-video book called Mastering Splash. 4 hours of video. You saw some of the video that really teach you everything. Lighting setups, gear, tutorials, and, of course, behind-the-scenes stuff. You're going to give us a little master class in Splash, Mr. Alex Koloskov?
Not a problem.
All right. Let's see. I'm excited.
I know.
Okay.
You're in your studio right now, aren't you?
Yes, it's exactly in the studio, and I have a little setup right there. And
now that looks like a 5D on the arm there, yeah?
Yep, it's 5D.
What kind of triggers do you use?
Well, this is a Vivitar, and basically it's not a good one, but I like this because it has the radio. It's a radio trigger.
Right, wireless.
Yeah, wireless. So that sometimes when I shoot alone without assistant or my wife... I hold trigger and throw a splash and trigger camera if it's not close enough, you know. Mm-hmm. So here we got this. We're going to do very simple, but I hope it will be very interesting result. I got black glass.
Okay.
You see, I did like a tripod-based shooting table, very small, but I can easily adjust the surface. I can attach different plates to it. So now it's just a piece of glass painted black from one side. So from another, it's like glossy black surface. I got that white cardboard and two lights. One is for background. One is to highlight our subject. And the subject will be, well, this simple glass for whiskey, I guess. I don't know.
I hope you're not going to be pouring whiskey on this one. Be ashamed
of waste. We're in the wrong studio.
So that's going to be a pretty shot at the piano, yeah. Piano reflection of the glass.
Okay, and let me set up the camera.
I like this arm. You use this instead of a tripod to give you more flexibility?
Yeah, this is a studio, huge studio stand. It weighs, like, I don't know, 150 pounds probably.
Wow.
You can move the whole thing, and I have a laptop attached from one side of this arm and camera on another, and then just cords between. So I shoot tethered. I always have laptop sitting next to me.
That's so you can review it on the laptop and not chimp the back of the camera. Yeah,
exactly. Okay, always manual focus and always the manual exposure in the studio.
So you're basically getting it focused, and then you're not futzing with it again.
Oh, say it again?
You're focusing on the glass or the object in itself, and then you're not messing with it again.
Yes, yes.
And you focus by eye? Is that sufficient?
Well, I focus by eye, and I turn it, and I can hear, you know, this little beep when it gets a focus. So they call it focus confirmation.
Right.
Right.
So you use the assist in there.
Yeah, another thing you could do is just focus it on auto and then flip it to manual focus.
Yeah. But, you know, the problem is not a problem, but like a feature of shooting products. Usually camera doesn't know where to get what to be in the focus.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what you want. Yeah.
Yeah. Here, for example, it should be not the front surface and not the back surface of the glass, but it should be actually in the middle somewhere. I got F11 to cover.
So you're using a small enough aperture so that focus isn't absolutely critical, but you still pay attention to it.
Yes, it's attention to focus. Sometimes actually it's a big issue with the focus, because when you shoot macro, it's hard to get whole thing in focus.
So as often the case with a product shot, you are shooting one to one. You want to have a macro shot.
Yeah.
So even at f/11.
Is f/11 a pretty happy place for you? Is that where you're usually sitting with these type of shots?
Between f/11 and f/18 probably, because beyond f/18, it's still possible. But again, even with Einstein's, when I go to full power, I lose my short flash duration. On full power, it's not enough. It's not short enough. So I'm limited by power as well.
You can't use all the light you have available.
Well, I can, but it's again...
It's too slow.
Yeah, if I close to f/25 or so, it should be too much light to get the correct exposure. Or I need to raise ISO, which is fine, but again, ISO 200 may be fine. But in error, try to shoot even on 200. 400, I don't talk about it because it's losing quality. For commercial shots, it's very important to have the best quality.
So in every respect, you're going for the maximum quality, the maximum clarity and crispness of this shot. You have to balance all these different elements to make sure you get the best.
Yeah. Okay, let's go back to the shot. I got ice. You see, this is...
That's not ice. That's ice.
It's fake ice. It's fake ice.
What is it?
Plastic ice.
Plastic ice. Ice. And, you know, it's this piece cost $40.
Wow.
Yeah.
I know only one studio which sells it in the U.S.
Is there a particular place where you get all your props? Or is it you have to go to different resources each time?
It's different. But there is very interesting studio in New York where they sell all this artificial stuff. Very high quality. Berries, cherries. I forgot the name. I'm sorry.
It's obvious why you can't use a real ice cube. It's going to melt during the shoot. Yeah. It would have melted.
And the problem is, it's hard to get that knife. Shape.
It doesn't look as good.
The shape's not right. Yeah,
it doesn't look as good.
How we can get it with clear ice cube? You know, it's some specific technology to get clear ice. Usually it's not clear. It's some bubbles in it.
And
okay, so let's turn our flash. This is the little Cyber Commander, which I love to do. I mean, to use it. Because I can turn my flash, I can adjust the power, everything from here. Okay, let's start from one flash only. Only background is lit. This one is off.
Okay. Only the background. Okay.
Yeah, only background. And you know what I will do? Let me do this. I'm going to do a little trick. And it should work, I hope. Okay.
Look at that. We're going to get to see it. All right.
Yeah,
That's cool.
Lightroom. And boom. Yeah, we got the shot, but I didn't attach my trigger to camera, so it's black. I need to do it again. Okay, now it was this with flash, and let's see the result.
Okay, so this is kind of a test shot almost to make sure that you've got the ice cube and everything looking good. That looks pretty good.
I need to a little bit lower the flash. And you see how it looks, right? And let's add one more light to it.
Are we using Lightroom as the software here?
Yes, it's a Lightroom. Okay, now I've added my notes.
Oh, we're getting some radio hit from your radio triggers on your mic there. Oh, boy. Hey, look at this. We're getting fancy now.
Okay, I got one more light on.
Okay.
And let me trigger
it. Another shot. I love how pro photographers are gear hounds, right? They have all this stuff.
I know.
It's part of the fun.
I love gear, right?
Me too. Look at that. Look how much clarity you've got.
Yeah, this is previous one. And when we turn it to that side light... You see, it's
big difference.
Oh, wow, that's great.
Big difference. It's funny, it didn't look that different to me zoomed out, but when you show that detail,
And one of my tips was to learn, for beginner or for any photographer, to use color gels or color background, because it adds a lot of drama and it kind of makes the shot. So here, now I have white. Let me remove it. And
we're going to change the background to something else.
Yeah, I already have the
red brown. Is already, yeah, yeah.
And do the same shot with brown. Okay. It's coming to Lightroom.
Oh, what a big difference.
Yeah.
What a big difference. Yeah. That's beautiful.
Yeah, and now it needs to be added some liquid. Actually, I can tell you what the flash duration for this particular setup. One flash has one of 6,000 of a second.
Wow.
And another one of 10,000 of a second.
Wow.
That's the beauty of Einstein.
And you're using a 5D? Is that what you're shooting with?
Yeah, I have 5D and have Hasselblad, so now I use 5D, so it's just a little bit easier to work with.
Okay.
And this is our whiskey.
I bet it's not Macallan.
Oh, so it's tea.
It's tea.
There you go.
It's a perfect color, though. I have to say it's beautiful.
Yeah. Hey, Alex, will you do a blog entry of like 10 different liquids, ways to make things? Like milk, whiskey.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah, I'm trying to explain what I use, because we're using like latex paint. Well, for this it's mostly tea, because for any whiskey, cognac, anything like this, you can use black tea, and it's very easy to make from like bourbon, something dark, mm-hmm. to like scotch whiskey. You know, you mix with water and it has little of...
How much attempt do you try to color match it, or will you do that later in the Photoshop?
Later. It's not...
It doesn't have to be perfect.
Yeah, for any commercial, for any real work, I use that, you know, the color checker passport always.
Perfect.
To get a profile.
Now, let me ask you about the lens. Are you using a prime lens at this point, or zoom?
Non-zoom macro. It's 100 millimeters Canon f/2.8 LIS.
That's a nice macro. That's a great
I've
macro.
I've never played with that one.
I love this macro. This is my favorite lens. It's 180 millimeters f/3.5 wide. It's a great lens. It's the best macro I ever had.
And it's fixed.
It's fixed.
And it's a little long for a macro, but I guess for this kind of thing, that's good. You don't want to be right on top of the shot.
Exactly.
No, you don't.
And especially with liquid. 180 millimeters.
You don't want to get the camera wet.
I know.
You don't want to be close to that splash. Tea is fine. What about glue or latex?
Right.
Fine.
Right.
Okay, so let's try to...
This is so much fun. Oh, I'm loving this. You get to make a mess, too.
I know.
What better job could you have?
I don't know. This could definitely compare to Arnie's job.
Do you do anything about the viscosity? Because, of course, tea is a little bit less viscous than
whiskey. Let's see. No, usually don't, because it's not visible when you pour like this.
Okay.
But when we were playing for that Godiva shot, we are trying latex paint, white, and the glue was working much better than latex.
We'll show the video in a little bit of the Godiva behind the scenes. It's great.
Okay. So I'm trying to do it myself. I'm not as good as Zhenya, but I will try. Okay, 3, 2, 1. I guess it was too early.
Uh-oh.
Yep.
He's got good reflexes.
You see, it's coming.
A little too early. It's coming, but not quite yet.
But
look how beautiful that is.
He's teasing us.
That's great.
It's gorgeous. It's gorgeous.
Yeah, so even shots like this can be used later in post-production to use that, you know, piece of splash to make something nice.
So you're pretty much always, I mean, that, is the side light what's creating that depth within the liquid?
Well, it's a mix. You see, you can easily, if you open in full, those bright lines.
Oh, that's coming from the background.
From the strip box.
Okay.
And well, actually, it's a mix of this light and that. It's sometimes hard to say because of liquid.
Right. It's all, the refraction is confusing.
Yeah.
But it does look like the lighter light is coming from the side and the brighter one is coming.
Yep. Okay, let's do one more. Okay, at least I hit it.
I think you need your lady.
I like how he knows. He knows when he takes a picture. Oh, there you go.
Oh.
Look at that. That's not so bad. You're not getting the splash.
Well, usually it takes from...
You could be doing this all day.
Yeah, from 20 to 50 shots to get the splash you want.
Yeah.
But this is very cool.
That's not bad. Look how good that is. Yeah. Cool. So you're trying to hit the ice cubes. You're probably trying to get a bigger splash out of it than that, I would guess.
Yeah. Now it's like a half field, and I'm going to...
It's so much fun to see this action.
I know. Isn't it crazy?
Yeah.
Let me shoot one more time.
So you just throw
I can't believe he's doing it at the same time. That's hard.
I know. He's talking. Yeah. He's demoing.
Yeah, exactly. A little bit harder than talking about.
You can see why you'd use your wife. Too soon.
Before you know his kids.
We're making him nervous now. Everybody quiet. Shh.
Okay.
Quiet.
Oh, that was good. Wait.
Yeah,
that was the first one. We're going to see the next one. That felt good. That did feel good.
I felt good on that.
Oh, look at that. Beautiful. A little too much.
Yeah, a little bit too big.
That's for a real whiskey drinker.
Itself, but
oh, look at that color.
I love how it looks.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it's
amazing.
Yeah, you know, it's a simple photo, so it's not like I have a big idea behind this. But
right. It's making me thirsty, I got to say. It's working.
Yeah, we're getting actually perfect stock images.
Right.
Any of this will work for stock.
Sure.
Know?
People need those. Yeah. Do you do a lot of stock, or you do these mostly on commission?
No. I tried with stock. I kind of probably 3 years ago, I was trying to sell something on the MicroStock, on Alani, but it didn't work very well for me, and it was too much energy. You know, it's like, if you concentrate, it will work. But it's not that interesting because you need to shoot a lot of every day to submit like hundreds of images,
right?
Especially for MicroStock. And then you will get some good money from it. But it's not. I better shoot one per week, but it will be, you know, something very nice. And
make $10,000 on the one shot as opposed to
$10.
A ton. Yeah.
Well, I think the industry's just shifted too. It was different before, but now it's...
Right. Is there when you're shooting, if this were an ad for Suntory, would you have to use Suntory in the product shot?
No.
Can you use it? Can you do a food shot without actually having it be the actual food?
My guess is yes.
There's no law that says, well, you're showing a picture of whiskey hitting the ice. It doesn't have to be the actual whiskey, does it?
Oh, yeah, it doesn't be. No, they don't care.
They don't care. It could be tea. It could be anything.
Whatever looks the best, right?
Somebody in the chat room is saying, oh, no, the law requires. I don't think there's any law about that.
No, they don't.
I'm not aware. Maybe there is a law, but
he isn't obliged by that law. So what are your favorite backgrounds to use? What do you feel like works best? What colors?
Well, it all depends from the color of the subject, but generally, I like blue. I like this, I like gray and whatever.
For whiskey, I could see brown is the color.
Because you
want to play up that
rich.
That
warm, rich.
Yeah.
I also quite often use just white background, but put the gel on the light.
Okay.
So instead of lighting with, like, colored background with white light, I use white background with colored light.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
It looks a little bit different, but you remember that shot on the bubbles, the sparkling water on the green background, which you showed in recently, green spot, and the sparkling water covered with little bubbles. Well, you have it. It was shot on white background.
All right, I'm going to see if I can find that. And while I'm looking, I'm going to ask you a question for which I do not know what I'm saying. Is this the green shot that you were talking about with the...
Green, yeah, for example, this one, for example. It was white background.
Oh, interesting. With green light.
Yeah, it was no other light hitting background, so it was black, basically, without that spot. And we put spot through the gel, we got the shot.
Isn't that neat?
Do you have, how often are you working with stylists on these?
For, you know, I do a lot of just still promotional photography. Honestly, I don't have that much commercial shots yet. I'm still kind of going there. But for commercial shot, I always have a stylist.
So the question I was going to ask you, and I think I kind of understand it. Are you dragging the shutter? Is this second curtain?
No, it's not.
It's not. It's all first curtain.
Well, yeah, you know, when you shoot with external flash, I don't think you can even...
You can't drag the shutter.
Yeah, it's
okay.
Not there.
Okay.
When you're shooting food, how do you make it have that, like, glossy... Like, say you're shooting fruit, for example, that sort of glossy feel... Like fresh.
They spray wax on it.
What is it?
But you know, for food, it's not me. I never.
You hire. There's a person who comes in and does that, right? Yeah.
I have this.
Very spritzer girl.
It was like 4 days shot for Shirley Corriger. She's author of that book, White Book. It was 4 days shot. We were shooting like 8 hours every day. And the stylist was working with us. And, you know, they were using some crazy stuff to make.
That's a real special. I have a friend in the city who does a lot of food stuff, and there's a special person. That's her full-time job.
But how often is the food? Is it mostly real food, or is it ever not real food?
What I shot, usually it's real food, but sometimes it has non-real ingredients.
We're going to get your tips in just a second, but here's this great Godiva shot that you were talking about, where you have white chocolate and you have dark chocolate. Or maybe that's milk and chocolate.
That's Elmer's glue.
It's latex paint, right? What is it that you're using?
What are our ingredients for these liquids?
Yeah, that was latex paint.
Oh, was it?
What a mess.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
You must. I have a video if you'd like to watch.
Yeah, let's watch this.
Let's watch
this
a little bit of the making of the Godiva chocolate video here. I think this is it.
Yep. That's
this is you and your wife making a mess.
Oh, yeah. We had like three
I love his reaction.
I like it. He's wearing sandals.
I know.
But, you know, this is fun. I bet this is really fun.
Oh, yeah. It's a lot of fun. It's always.
So what are the ingredients of the they're both latex paint? What's the chocolate? Yeah. Okay.
I think we use some dye for this. But I think the best way is to go to Home Depot or whatever and mix color. Which you like.
Until you get it just right. And let's look once again at that stunning shot.
Do we have a setup? We have a setup for that one,
just
too.
Just gorgeous.
No, I don't think I have set up. It's still getting part of the book I'm working on. So.
Look at that. That is so cool. There's something visceral about these textures and splashes. They make you hungry. They make you thirsty. There's a physical reaction. Look at
he's smiling. He's like, that's the goal, man.
That's the goal. We're going for that.
How many shots were sandwiched in that particular? Do you recall?
For this, for Godiva?
Yeah.
Well, it was a lot. We had three different photo sessions just for splash. We were trying Elmer's glue.
Oh my
gosh. We
were
trying different latex.
So you composited the bottle in later.
Yes, and bottle was completely separate. Like that is actually forced photo session for the bottle, just standing alone without flash or
But what I'm amazed is that you were able to get these splashes to curve like that.
Well, are the splashes caught simultaneously, or are they different?
Yeah, you saw them. She was doing that.
Yeah, we are trying to do it simultaneously, but this one is different.
I mean, the shape is pretty incredible.
Yeah, you know, for shots like this, the Photoshop is very important.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, you think?
Like 40% of maybe like 50% of a shot is Photoshop. Because all the cleaning, you need to do a lot of little things, a lot of touch up to make it look, like you said, you want to drink it or you kill it.
There are other droplets that you probably erased and things like
What's your favorite surface to shoot on? I mean, obviously you like reflective surfaces. What are typical, like what's the top three that your products are on for reflective nature?
Well, usually it's just made white, but it's not like advertisement type of shot. I shoot a lot of just the product shots, which probably not going to be on my portfolio or so, because they're just simple. I mean, simply looking at least, not that, you know, doesn't have that impact on the viewer, but that's what people paying for, to get very nice looking product shot just on plain white background. So I have that huge shooting table. It's not here, it's over there, and I use it a lot.
Alex said in his bio, as a photographer, I am completely self-taught. I do not know the rules, nor do I care about them. I don't follow the herd. I do it my way, and that's turned out to be invaluable in what I do. It has allowed me to experiment, see outside the borders, challenge the authorities, and create a stunning photography style that's crisp, sharp, and crystal clear. I'd agree with that.
I would agree
But
as
he's going to give us three rules.
Three tips. Yeah, I know.
No rules here. No rules.
Just suggestions.
Just nice, gentle direction.
These are good, though. I like this. Yeah. Number one, the lighting's not important. Light modifiers are. We actually, it's kind of nice. You've given us some examples.
Yeah. For example, this one, it was just like, actually it was a guest post on another blog, but I used professional lighting to get this shot. You can scroll down. There is a...
Makes a huge difference. Here's the lighting setup.
This one. Yeah. There is a lighting setup. So we will use an Allen Chromes, Paul C. Buff, all the soft boxes. It was how many? One, two, three, four lights.
The fourth is the one in the back here.
Yeah,
this
great.
This little one. What is that doing? I don't.
Scroll up to the image. I'll tell you. It's actually.
Is it visible on this one? Oh, is this the little halo?
Oh, that's
this is
cool.
The halo in the back.
Yeah.
Yeah, and actually on that image, it's a strip box. It was not halo. It was like linear gradient.
Okay.
But at the end, we replaced it with just a circular reflector with honeycomb, and we got it.
I love that. That's really spectacular.
Yeah, and the second one, that same phone, that's how I shoot it.
Whoa.
I got... those lights from Home Deep.
These are just cheap light bulb lights in here.
Exactly.
Work lights.
And
they're putting foil. You're making a softbox, in effect.
Yes. That's what I kind of... Because, you see, many people... I heard a lot when people are saying, oh, you know, I wish I can have lights like you got.
Yeah.
You know? And I was saying it's not the case. Let me show you.
These are just inexpensive work lights from Home Depot.
Here it is.
This what is it? It's a what is it? A garbage can?
Exactly. It's a garbage.
Oh my gosh!
It cuts the bottom out, and that becomes a softbox.
It's a cone, shooting cone for any small subject. You got this. You in it, and you have very nice. Like a softbox around, you can use spotlights to get, you know.
So you put the object inside. Will you put the object inside that?
Yeah. It should be. For example, you remember that table?
Yeah.
I can cover it like this and have a watch or some jewelry.
Yeah.
Stick camera or stick like this.
I get it. So you light around the outside of it. The camera goes through the hole.
Yeah.
The object's on the inside. So in effect, all the lighting has become diffused by that garbage can.
And it's very easy to move lights closer to the garbage can to get, you know, like brightest spots.
Right.
Or move a little bit far to get, like, more diffusion. And, yeah, you can use it with this light. Any steel
cheap work
subject.
Lights.
Yeah, and one more thing. For example, this one. This is my, well, this is frame from Office Deep, right? You can stick something here. It just, but think about... You can use anything. You can use reflector here, right?
A little Mylar sheet in there. Yeah.
You can have... actually, I was kind of showing you this. There is a plastic. And the roll of this plastic cost like $38. 18 feet by 58 inches.
So it'd be kind of seamless for a studio or something like that.
Yeah, it's a plastic. It's not easy to just bend it and have you know, all these marks. And... it's semi-transparent and translucent. This is soft box. You hang it.
Right.
You use any light from
shine a light through it.
Wow. It's very easy.
I have to say, when you're not using models, when you're shooting products, you have more. You can do more leeway to try stuff, right?
Yeah.
Because the product's just going to sit there. The model's going to get tired. I don't see Arnie using this kind of stuff.
No, but look at this.
Look at this watch. This is a good example of something that's very difficult to light. Lots of little bits and pieces, and you just make it pop. It just every facet of it is gorgeous.
Actually, this is without any Photoshop. This is from latest masterclass. I used that plastic wrap around. Basically, I did a cone.
You did the garbage can for this one. Amazing.
Instead of garbage can, I had that plastic. Same thing. You kind of fold it as a cone shape.
Right. I get it. Yeah, you shoot down the inside of it, and then you just move the lights around till you get everything highlighted that you want.
Yep, exactly. Oh,
it makes it seem so easy.
I just want to, touch it.
Doesn't it? It's gorgeous. All right, tip number two.
Dial exposure compensation and flash exposure compensation in opposite directions.
Okay, this one I don't understand.
Yeah, we are lost. Speak
dial
to us like
exposure
novice.
Exposure compensation and flash exposure in opposite directions.
Well, this is for outside. It's not like what I do.
This is not a studio thing.
Yeah, it's not a studio, just for fun. But when I posted these images on the G+, Google Plus, a lot of people ask, how you got that look? Besides the Photoshop, amount of Photoshop of it, it was very easy and simple settings on the camera I used to get it. When I shoot against something bright, like a sun or bright sky, you see that kind of HDR-ish look?
Yeah.
Like HDR-like, because we underexposing the landscape by dialing. Minus one or minus 1.5, whatever. So it will be dark sky, a little bit darker. Usually it looks nicer. But the problem that the subject will be dark.
Right. So you turn the flash up?
Yeah.
Yes.
One stop.
Yes, one stop for this one. It should be, for that shot, should be very powerful flash. I mean, I didn't know how much it was on the edge. I mean, was it the maximum power or not? But to fight against sun, it should be some power.
Give it an HDR look, doesn't it?
Well,
it's
so nice to have that richness.
It's hyper-real. Yeah,
it is
love
hyper-real.
That. Look at that. This is a good example here.
It is without having the bad texture.
Right.
On the skin.
The weird tone mapping going on, yeah.
Yeah, some Photoshop was applied. It wasn't, but the idea is, you see that's shadows from the sun.
Right.
But the body, I mean, basically it's against the sun. You don't see it, but it's
here's the sun. The sun shadow is here, but you've got a flash that's turned up a stop. So you get all the light on the sun and the waves and the sky, and then you also get great detail on it.
What is your favorite light modifier, if you just had one to choose?
For the outside, well, I don't know. Probably for the flash on the camera, I won't use anything. I'll just flash.
Oh, nothing.
And this is is an on-camera strobe.
Yeah, it's on camera. It's a EX. 580 AX. Yeah.
So just a regular hot shoe flash.
Yeah.
And then what about your favorite? What's your go-to light modifier for in studio?
Well, softbox.
Softbox.
Or a garbage can.
Or a garbage can.
Learn how to use color gels to create remarkable photographs. We talked a little bit about that already. Yep. Not necessarily changing the light on the background, but the gel on the not the background color, but the gel. Here's an example. Look at that. Oh my God.
Well, this is without light. We just changed white balance a little bit.
Interesting.
So it was white light.
White light and a black background.
Yeah, black background, and it was interesting reflection when.
Sometimes hard light looks good on the water.
Yeah, and this is I add the gel to the background light.
Adding a blue gel.
So you have the blue gel. Is it on both lights?
So there's the difference. That's without a gel. It's just white. And adding a blue gel, you still get some of the white, but you also get some blue in there.
Is this on? Do you have the gels applied to all your lights or?
Only one. You see one light is
one
still
white. Yeah.
And one is.
See the nice mix you get. Yeah. That's really cool. And here's, ooh.
What's going on here?
This too. And one light is very, I removed the softbox, so it's very,
hard. Yeah, the yellow light.
Yellow one. So there is no white at all.
Yeah.
And some large, actually I was highlighting the background with a blue one.
Water gives you such great specular highlights and reflections and refractions. It's really, must be fun. It's fun to play with water. But you can do it with people too. Look at that. So there we got a purple and a green.
Yeah, purple, green, and the one another green for the ground. got
beautiful. Yeah, neat effect, and it works for products too.
Yeah, this one, it was shot on a white background with spot with green gel on it for
very
the background.
Nice. Very nice. Yeah. Well, I think if you want to know more, you really should go to Alex's website, because he's got a very generous with his information there, and there's also information about his books and his classes. You're going to be doing, let's see, that's an old one. Let's find one.
It's an old one. I have a meetup. You can join meetup. It's called Secrets of Studio Photography, I think.
Technical Secrets of Studio Photography. All right. Yeah. And then, of course, the ebook, Mastering Splash Class.
It contains basically 4 hours of masterclass.
That's great.
And he has a great, we touched on it real quick, but his link to all his gear, he walks through and explains what he uses different things for. So that's also a really good resource on his blog.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah. I'm trying to share everything, and, you know, it's like, it works.
Well, we really appreciate it. I think it's just very generous of you. There was so much more to talk about. Some great, great product shots.
Do we have time to show the last, his other second favorite shot, the beauty shot?
Yeah. What's that? God, this is making me hungry. Oh my goodness. Okay. Enough food.
Yeah, that's bad.
There's some gear. Here's some gear stuff. That's really, really cool.
Oh yeah. Favorite gear.
You're using a view camera on this.
Yeah, I have view camera. First, I built view camera based with DSLR attached on back. But like a half a year
ago, cool.
I got the Phase 1 digital back, and now it's much easier to do it.
And there's the macro that you like so much.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, it's the second one, yeah.
So that's the
180.
It's a 180 f2.8.
No, f3.5.
3.5.
Oh, it's 3.5. Okay. Interesting.
But that's fine, because you're in studio,
yeah,
right?
You
don't mind.
So can you tell us about this shot real quick, Alex?
Yeah, it was fun, actually. I had Google Plus Hangout, so I was broadcasting from the studio while shooting that girl with flash. And you remember about those rules and saying, I don't care? When I post my images on the blog, I see a lot of responses, and they are different. And sometimes people saying, oh, you know, you shouldn't shoot this way. It's wrong.
You're breaking the rules.
like here. Oh, you know, why she's looking a little bit higher than the ball? Why hands is out of focus? But, for example, for me, it gives like 3D look when I look at this photo because of hands blurred. It's like they outside of the frame.
Right.
They're closer to me than the subject. So, and actually we did... It was a composite shot in Photoshop, but we got very good sources. I mean, we had this girl, and we covered her with all that plastic so she won't get wet. We're sticking bottle of, just drinking water between her palms, pushing it, and that's how we get... It wasn't that round ball of water.
So you're squirting it up between her hands?
Exactly, yes.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, it's on a blog. I can probably show you.
This is so cool.
It was a real shot from,
we've seen that. Okay, good. It's really neat. Really neat stuff. Well, the blog is a great resource. Lots of information in here, and including the photographer's blog, because that's really where you're going to find. Which I think we've brought down by everybody going to visit it. So everybody, and by the way, follow him on Google Plus. I'm thinking more and more that this is how
I love
photographers are sharing their stuff, and I do too. And I'm going to add you right now because I have a big photography circle, and I don't know how I missed you, but that's one of the fun things. I'm going to add Alex Koloskov, the lighting magician. Right. Thank you, Alex.
Thank you so much, Alex, for coming and joining us today. We appreciate your presence and knowledge.
Oh, well, it's been my pleasure. It was great, and thank you for inviting me.
Thank you. All right, Alex, we'll see you soon, I hope.
Yeah, I'll be visiting you November.
Good.
Maybe
we can splash some water around the studio.
Yeah. Maybe do a demonstration in the living room.
I probably don't want.
Oh yeah, we'll do that.
What about Elmer's glue and latex?
By the way, if you go to his Google Plus, he does have HDR shots as well. There's a lot of, I know people love HDR and Google Plus. There's a lot. He's very creative, and lots of interesting things here. So, Highly recommend it. Thank you, Alex.
Yeah, thank you, Alex.
And thank you all for being here. We do, of course, Twit Photo every Tuesday at 1:30 Pacific, 4:30 Eastern at live.twit.tv. Make sure you go to katherinehall.net to see more of Catherine's great stuff.
Thank
and
you.
If you have hangouts and stuff, you'll plan them.
Yeah,
and let us
we're
know
gonna. I think we should do it. I think we should do it once, like the first Tuesday of every month.
I love that
and we'll
idea.
Do it in studio.
Love that idea. That'd be great fun.
And then next week, we have, I'm really excited. We have a legend next week who I've been watching his work since I was studying photography in college, Steve Simon. So it's going to be a really good show.
Great. Steve Simon joins us next week.
Yeah.
Make sure you watch each and every week. But the good news is if you miss a show, we have them all on Twit.tv.
They're all on Twit.tv.
And if you like this, please go back. There are so many good episodes. And we
tell your friends.
We're really trying to spread the word because I just am so excited about this show. I think it's such a great show.
I know. Me too.
And it's such a, if you like photography or just want to know more about it, what a great
I watch it and then I want to rewatch it.
Yeah. Please do.
Our guests are really good.
Thanks for joining us and we'll see you next time.
Thank you.
On Twit Photo. Bye, Alex.
Bye, Alex. Thank you.